lesson this morning will be Luke 19, 28 to 40, titled Jesus Comes to Jerusalem as King. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached the Bethanage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory is the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry.'" The Lord, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Dave, maybe by the end of the month I'll remember to put the microphone up. It bothers me out of the corner of my eye. Will you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, no matter where we are worshiping with us this morning, be suitable and acceptable to you, dear Lord. Amen. So everybody remembers that day. Palms waving, cloaks on the ground. It was a joyful and glorious day. It was a time of excitement. It was a time of optimism and renewed national pride for the Israelites. Here's their guy riding in. Wasn't it great? What started with just a handful of disciples offering their praises to God turned into a citywide celebration. And if we think about it, we can appreciate why. After all, the people of Jerusalem had been waiting for something like this for ages and ages and ages. Their hope was that this Jesus would launch a revolution. A revolution against those pesky Romans. And they would free the holy city from Roman occupation. Well, still, if the truth be told, all of their hosannas couldn't hide the fact that Jesus was not just quite what they expected or wanted him to be. Most conquering kings ride into town on a white stallion, ready for war. Jesus came on this little tiny donkey that almost probably left his feet dragging on the ground as he rode it. Plus, there was no sword in his hand, nor any other kind of weapon attached to a saddle. Oh, saddle. Well, he didn't have a saddle either. All he had was somebody's overcoat thrown over the donkey. As we imagine in our mind's eye Jesus entering Jerusalem with his friends and followers, waving their palms and not swords, we can see just a little bit into the heart of God. At least one thing is clear. Jesus doesn't come to us on our terms. Jesus comes to us on God's terms.
Amen.
But yet, he comes. That's the peace. The people there wanted a prophet. But this prophet, this Jesus, would tell them that their city was under God's imminent judgment. They didn't want to hear that. The people wanted a Messiah, but Jesus, the Messiah, was about to be enthroned on a cross instead of a throne. The people wanted to be rescued from evil and oppression, and Jesus was going to rescue them from evil, for sure. But from evil in its fullest depths. Not just the surface evil, like I lied today, just little things. I white lie because I told somebody they looked good and they didn't, you know? Those little white lies. Not that surface evil. That's really not what Jesus was about. Because those who believed in Christ would have their hearts changed. would have their hearts changed inwardly, not necessarily their outward situations, which meant they would change, but the world around them would not. That's what it's like for us. Our hearts are changed, we're changed, but we still live in a world that tries to tell us something different. The story of Jesus' grand but surprising entry into Jerusalem is a great lesson in the mismatch between what our expectations are and what God's answer is to our expectations. The crowds wanted Jesus to conquer in a worldly way with swords and fighting. Jesus came to conquer through serving and loving and laying down his life to save those who believe. The hosannas of Palm Sunday were justified, but not for the reason that the people had supposed. To learn this lesson is to take huge steps towards wisdom and humility and genuine Christian faith. To understand this. Because you see, Jesus comes as our King to bring salvation, but salvation means so much more than relief from an oppressive government. Jesus comes, here's the kicker, Jesus comes to free us from ourselves. Because most of the time, we're the ones who are getting in our own way in our relationship with God. He comes to free us from self-hatred and selfishness. He comes to free us from our shame, from our greed, from our fear. He comes to save us from death, from our broken relationship with God, where we humans are capable of such terrible evil. And we're seeing that all around the world right now. We're seeing that happening in Ukraine. Some of the things that are going on there, I weep every time I watch the news. But the life that God offers us is a life of humble service and love. And now I want to tell you a story about a donkey. A donkey that thought it was a horse. One day, it was just hanging out in Bethany, minding its own business, when these two guys come up to it, and they're in urgent need. And they say, "The Lord needs you." He heard them say that. And as they brought this little donkey to Jesus, they threw their cloaks upon it, and then Jesus came and sat on him. Well, the donkey's pride began to swell. "Certainly I'm not just a donkey, but I'm a horse," it began to think. As the time went by and the crowds grew in intensity, well, the donkey thought, "Well, certainly I'm not just a horse, but I am a grand steed." And then people began throwing their cloaks upon the ground in honor of the donkey. That's what the donkey thought. And the donkey thought, "Yes, indeed, look at them honoring me." People in the crowd began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. And yet the donkey thought to himself, "I am wonderful. Listen to them." And then, just as soon as it had begun, the parade was over. Jesus got off the donkey. The two men took it back to Bethany and tied it back up to that post. No one ever again looked twice at that donkey. The donkey got to thinking some more. And as the donkey was thinking, God spoke to the donkey. "You are not a horse, you are a donkey." Those hosannas, they were not for you, but they were for Jesus. The palm branches, those weren't for you either. They were for the King of Kings. You were being used as an instrument in God's great plan. And you did a great job. Well done. You will be talked about for eternity, donkey. Thank you for your service, but you are not a horse. You are a donkey. And there's nothing wrong with being a donkey. Amen. Did you like that story? Isn't that cute?
Oh, yeah.
My friends, As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called, in a sense, to be God's donkey. You wondered where I was going with that story, didn't you? We are called to be God's donkey. We're called to be humble, to carry the Christ, the King of Kings, into our communities. We have been created to be used for God's grand purposes. And there's no higher privilege than that. There's no greater calling than that. When the crowds cried, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," and "peace in heaven and glory in the highest," they are saying the right words, but they've still missed the point. Because they're humans, and we have a tendency to do that. They have all the notes, but yet none of the music. Knowing the truth is not the same thing as doing the truth. Let me say that again. Knowing the truth is not the same as doing the truth.
Amen.
A social psychologist once said of college students, and it's also true, I think, of the kingdom of God, it's possible to make an A+ in a course on ethics and yet still flunk out of life. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you've seen the bumper sticker, and I don't even know if these are around anymore, that says, "Honk if you love Jesus." Mm-hmm. Well, maybe there should be a better one that says, "Tithe if you love Jesus," because any fool can honk. These are actually true bumper stickers. Or it might say, now I'm making these up, "Serve if you love Jesus. Humble yourself if you love Jesus. Love your neighbor if you love Jesus." Because you see, everybody loves a parade. Everybody loves to cheer. But Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus came with a choice. We can stand and we can wave and we can wave our palms. We can join the crowds that cheered for Jesus on that day and just watch him pass by. Or we can follow him and stand with him at the cross. Because it's real easy to shout, but it's much harder to serve. Someone once said, everybody wants to go to Rome to see where St. Peter is buried, but nobody wants to live like Peter. Palm Sunday is a great day for us to think about what it really means to welcome Jesus into our hearts. Because that's the bottom line. The world we live in is so messed up right now. And Jesus has come to set us straight. We are capable as humans of such greed, such indifference toward our fellow humans, such evil, such selfishness, and we see it every day. We hear it every day. When we make the decision to step off the curb at the parade and follow our Jesus, we make the decision to die to this stuff and to live for God. To die for what the world has to offer us, but to live for God. And in doing so, we begin to march to a whole different destination. And it's radical. What Jesus brings to this world, what Jesus is going to do this week, is radical. And when we step off that curb and begin to follow, it's the most fulfilling thing that any of us can do. There's nothing else that compares. Because you see, Jesus' road is the only way to true joy, to true peace, and to real life. God's Son came to die for you and for me. God's Son came to die for you and for me. And Jesus said, there's no greater love that anyone has than this, that he give his life for his friends. And then he says to them, you are my friends. If you do what I have commanded, you are my friends. And we know what that commandment is. To love each other just as Jesus has loved us. Because you see, Jesus' love looks like a cross. Jesus' love gives oneself for the other. Jesus' love is not this world's love. And Palm Sunday is a great time to begin to become a follower of Jesus if you haven't, or to recommit to being a follower of Jesus. Because you see, there is no such thing as being a spectator in Christianity. You're either all in or you're just kind of messing at the edges. What the people who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday didn't realize, that God was offering them the opportunity to do something more than just stand and cheer and wave. God was inviting them to join in doing what God was doing in this world, to die to self and to live for God and for others, to be saved through faith in Christ and make a positive difference in our lives and the lives of our friends and family, and even in the lives of people that we don't even know. Because you see, this life does not have to be the meaningless mess that sometimes it feels like it is. God desires to make something beautiful of our lives. God wants only the very best for all of us. And what an offer that is. What an opportunity that is. But you see, as we've said this a couple times in the course of this Lenten journey, that the choice is ours. You know, Jesus is a gentleman. He does not force himself on anybody. He comes, I'm here, I love you, I want you to love other people, but you've got to make the choice to follow. You've got to make the choice to do that, and not just do it once, but to do it every day, all the time. Because you see, that invitation is here for you. The question is, will you follow Jesus to the cross? Not just this week, but next week and the following week, the following week, and so on and so forth. Because then, that Christ that's in our heart, we can take that Christ out into this community and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is good news. Sometimes it doesn't feel like good news, but it is good news. So the question is a choice for you. Will you follow, or will you just stand on the sidelines and watch Jesus go by? The choice is up to you. Will you pray with me, please? Loving and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this holy week that begins with all of this cheering and ends with the words that we will hear on Friday that say, crucify him, crucify him. How do we get from hosannas? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, to crucify him. But it's something that you took on. Help us to walk with you this week. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to hear this story again fresh. Because this story is for us. And it's not a story, it's the truth and the way. It's Jesus. Lord, help us. Help us to be who you've called us to be. In your name we pray.